50 years ago yesterday, but on a Sunday, people from far and wide converged on Selma, Alabama, to march for voting rights in what became known as Bloody Sunday, a potent symbol of the need and the quest for civil rights in this country, a symbol that remains alive for us still. It is a symbol of the nonviolence which brought change in this country, even though the story is not over yet. Change in even in meeting violence head on. As President Obama gathered yesterday with about 100 members of Congress, he said, "When we feel the road is too hard, we will remember these early travelers and draw strength from their example, who proved that nonviolence can bring change. Love can conquer hate, and the powerless can change the world's greatest powers." The message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those who are being saved, it is the power of God. A God who knows the depth of human pain and suffering in each one of us. A God who created this world and seeks tirelessly to redeem it and us from ourselves. Even this God of wind and rain and snow, ever reminding us of our need for redemption, of hope, that God is God and we are not in the midst of our brokenness. Into that world and into this world Jesus came, even to the point of the cross. It's an understatement to say that it has been a challenging week. In local ways, in global senses, you pick your own top three for the week. Dispiriting news of division, discord, blatant disregard for law and practice, snow, illness, injury, death, destruction of property and history, and many personal crises named and unnamed. Into this world, Jesus came, and Jesus comes. On Wednesday morning, well, first I have to go back. Last Sunday morning, at 5:20 a.m., my cell phone rang. It rang, and you know that on Sunday morning when your cell phone rings early, it's probably not good news. And it was a message from Gina Bay saying, it was Gina Bay, I answered the phone, saying that that she wondered if I had gotten the text from Siobhan that she was on her way to the hospital. And I said to Gina, I said, "I wonder if you remember that I'm in Washington State with my mother in 50-degree weather with the pear blossoms in bloom." It was a long couple of days to get home. And on Wednesday morning, with even a longer couple of days, but with the grace of God and the work of Ed Fitzpatrick on our snow in this week, as I was shoveling the all-too-heavy slush, my neighbor and her new dog went by commenting on what is most everyone's favorite conversation starter these days, this weather. I told her about Pastor Siobhan's broken leg, and she said, "It's that kind of stuff which makes me not believe in God. The unfairness of life to those who are trying to do good." I paused first to think how to respond to that, because what was going on in my heart and in my snow shovel at that moment was, you know, you're right. But I said, that's not going to preach on Sunday on these texts. But almost as quickly and divinely inspired, I think, another word came to me. It's God that makes it all possible to deal with these things as they happen and to come out on the other side stronger, transformed by the power. And I said that to Wendy, my social justice activist friend and neighbor, and was surprised that as she was passing me with her dog, she said, "You know, you're right." Okay. Paul's text in this lectionary series is a curious one as we wade through the wilderness of Lent, as we seek to ponder the crucifixion. We know and we love the teachings of Jesus. We know that Jesus' way and teaching and his life meant life for people and means life for people, and yet they led to his cross. This message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. It was very tempting midweek to change my text to the other lectionary text, which was Jesus overturning the temple money changers and preach a sermon about anger. This isn't the image of the Messiah, this crucified one that the people had been expecting, to bring justice in an instant, to overcome immediately the evil of the world. In the Lenten devotional that I've been reading this season, Thomas Merton writes, "The Christian must not only accept suffering, he or she must make it holy. Nothing so easily becomes unholy as suffering." And he's not talking here about merely accepted suffering, which only perhaps hardens our souls, Merton says, or asceticism that we deny ourselves by rigorously following rules or practices only to become self-righteous and self-satisfied in our self-denial. Suffering, he says, is consecrated to God by faith, not faith in suffering, but faith in God. To suffer, believing in God, is humility, and it is transformative, Merton writes. The cross speaks of this power of God, and it is a symbol of our faith, a symbol that we know leads us to resurrection, a power to raise God's own Son from the dead so that all humankind can also be so raised. Perhaps this is part of what this upside-down wisdom is all about, this piece of sacrifice, surrender to God, seeking God first, as we read the text for today in our Old Testament Exodus text. I was struck this week by the power of Scripture as Scripture passages ran through my mind in my attempts to get to a better place on Sunday morning for my sermon. I was struck by the power of Scripture this week. I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Some translators say will frustrate. It is so tempting to give in to fear and despair when we look at the world around us, a cascade of individual and international crises and trauma. And yet you who gathered here last Sunday morning know that the power of turning to God in the midst of that kind of suffering and crisis is an overwhelming power. In worship that I have heard from many of you that focused and enlivened you in the news just moments before worship of Pastor Siobhan's accident, in the ways this week that you have been reaching out in care to her, her family, to one another, strengthening and being strengthened by her faith in this unexpected journey of wandering and leading in this community. It's such an interesting juxtaposition in our lectionary this week, alongside the Exodus text, which highlights the Ten Commandments. Ah, if we would just follow those Ten Commandments and stay in the track, everything would just fall into order. But we know it's not that simple, as my neighbor says. There is much injustice in our world, and good people suffer day after day. But the Old Testament text, the beginning of the giving of those 12 or those 10 commandments, begins with a word of promise before a word of challenge. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. These commandments provide for us a structure, a high calling, to live lives faithful to God and in right relationship with one another. A structure not so easy to follow, but when doing, brings life and grace as well. They are not to be ignored, but bring grace in following, in reflecting, in remembering the God who gives them is the God who brings people out of slavery, fear, and despair. We are invited, too, in these days, to seek God's transforming presence to the mix and the circumstances of life very close by or even to the ends of the world. And the glimpses of that are all around us. Even though the work is not done, as our commemoration of Selma reminds us again. Before I left for Washington last week, was that only last week, I had the opportunity to sit in on a program that Kathy Cooper arranged with InterVarsity at Brown with her work with graduate and medical students. The chance to hear Dr. Alice Brown Collins reflect on recent events in Ferguson and New York and our call as Christians. I think Kathy summarized it really well this week when she said she communicated the compassion and love of Jesus for people who are suffering trauma. She looking at Ferguson through the lens of traumatized communities and spoke how Jesus identifies with us in our sufferings through the cross. She also called people to make choices, to forgive, to lead, to repent, to change, to be an advocate, to stand up for what's right, etc. For those of us privileged to hear her, her message sparked some good conversations and dialogue that will continue. For those of us who are tuning in to the lives of one another, to the world around us, there are good conversations and witnesses yet to be had. How is it that in our wandering we may be found by a God who envelopes us and this world in more care, love, and concern than we can possibly hope to imagine? We come together as a community to worship, to encourage one another, to be courage for one another in these days as we have this chance to come together here and on Tuesday nights and in the variety of ways in which we support and be with each other. We turn our attentions to words of scripture which strengthen us in times of need, promises of God to be with us no matter what may come. Can we live this faith that we profess, this cross in the face of suffering, the foolishness of the cross, a faith and a trust in God that led Jesus to a cross, but so far beyond. As we look at the world around us, we're so deeply conscious of a world of sin, of separation and despair. But we who live on this side of the resurrection know, we know that sin and evil do not have that final word. That God comes, God triumphs over it all. God is at work in all things, bears all things, hopes all things, for nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is the Jesus that we wander toward, that we see in wonder. In the darkness of these days of Lent, this Jesus who will be found. Praise be to this living cross. This living God, even in the foolishness of the cross, then and now. Amen.